Mini episode 648 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at pullinsgroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 648. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Fargo Episode 2.9 titled The Castle. Here's our top five developments from Episode 2.8 heading into this installment. Number 5, in true unpredictable Fargo style, Ed and Peggy, on the surface a classic in-over-their-head couple, have become the ultimate surviving cockroaches of this season. Say what you will about wacko Peggy's endless, mindless bleeding about self-actualization, but the transformation that she and Ed have made has involved the acquisition of serious survival instincts. Even after Dodd fleetingly escaped their clutches a few times and Hansi burst in on them with a gun, they still live to fight another day, albeit now in police custody. But as next week's preview indicates, their cooperation with the police is going to involve trying to bluff Mike Milligan. The Blomquists have outlasted countless soldiers in this mob war more gifted in their ruthlessness, such as Joe Bulo, one of the Kitchen Brothers, and now Dodd, but they keep ending up in new predicaments. Trying to earn lighter sentences will ratchet the danger even higher once again. Number 4. As is sometimes the case in the Fargoverse, Deus Ex Machina will sometimes assert itself. The kind interpretation is that the quirkiness of fate plays a prominent role in the stories, and that the convenience of certain developments is a charming feature, not a bug. Be that as it may, Ed finding the newspaper with the information about Mike Milligan and Hansi spotting himself in the paper seem pretty convenient indeed, much like how Hansi spotted Peggy's car the very moment he first set foot in Laverne. The good news is the story climaxes in the movie and season one were, for the most part, free of such shenanigans, so we've probably gotten most of this element out of the way. Number 3. Callbacks to previous Fargo stories and other Coen brother projects are remaining thick throughout the season. It is cool how they're never repurposed in quite the same manner, and the way that the Peggy Ed Dodd hostage situation was a reverse mirror image of the one in the movie was pretty sweet. Hansi's pursuit of the butcher and his wife also resembled Chigurh's quest in No Country for Old Men. With a spectacular slaughter set the climax this installment of Fargo, the mind fairly reels at the possibilities of invoking past stories that are available. Number 2. Lou and Hank, who were first presented to us in such laid-back fashion, proved once and for all what badasses they really are. On the surface, these well-mannered, laconic gentlemen are poster children for the syndrome known as Minnesota Nice, but from time to time you're reminded that they're grizzled war veterans and possessed of a great fierceness when it comes to defending the innocent members of the community from harm. Granted, they got some help from Peggy's scissors, but their successful track down of Hansi resulted in the first time that anyone got the better of him and forced him to flee empty-handed. Next week's preview indicates that they could be put in the back seat due to jurisdictional issues in Sioux Falls, in a separate state from where they're both employed. But when the madness really pops, look for both of them to do whatever they can, however they have to affect a positive outcome, whatever that may resemble. Number 1. In the Lily White mob business, it's a couple of minorities in Hansi and Mike who have thrust themselves to the very center of the action. 1979 was in the late stages of a weird transformational time in this country in terms of race relations, just past the state-sanctioned Jim Crow era, but not yet into today's vastly increased harmony. Slurs such as the ones directed last week at Mike by his angry boss and this week at Hansi by the rednecks in the bar would be frowned upon in polite society today. And both of them, while not quite motivated by Peggy's self-actualization gaga, have decided to use the chaos to assert themselves at the expense of their superiors. Mike's ambush of The Undertaker and his associates in episode 2.7 represented a high-risk power grab in the Kansas City mob. Hanzi's surprise killing of Dodd after being berated with slurs this past week may have come from a rasher place, but it's an equally risky path to getting ahead in the Gerhardt crime family. By the way, we did speculate here some weeks ago that Hanzi could decide at some point that his selfish interests may not always coincide with a Neanderthal like Dodd, so it's fair to say that we called that move to some small extent at least. Now three of the central figures in this war, Mike, Hanzi, and the man who apparently murdered his niece in the woods, Bear, all have explosive secrets to keep, even as their paths to the top are much less cluttered than they were several episodes ago. As they converge in Sioux Falls for what looks to be, in essence, an explosive two-part finale, they all need to be looking over their shoulders, even as they pursue their overt enemies. Put Floyd, any further reinforcements from Kansas City, Ed, Peggy, Lou, Hank, Schmidt, and any other law enforcement representatives in the mix, and we could be set for one of the most exciting conclusions to a story in TV history. It looks like it's going to be completely awesome. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.